This summer, on All Things Considered, we're presenting a sort of mystery mini-series, conversations with a few top-selling thriller writers whose books give millions the cold chills. We start this week with writer John Sandford. Sandford's newest Lucas Davenport book has just come out. He's written 16 books now about this Minneapolis police detective. In the early books, Davenport is a cop. In the later ones, he does the same kind of work for different masters. This book is called Hidden Prey. Fans know that all 16 books have prey in the title. John Sandford joins us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in the Twin Cities, where many of his books are set. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I have to say that one of the things I liked about this book is that it's set in cold weather, even though it's published in time for summer reading. Do you sort of think about your readers sitting on a toasty back porch in July reading about Duluth?
Actually, you know, what I'm doing is I'm aging Davenport at a different rate than I age. So we both started out when I was 41 at 41, and he's now 46, which means that I tend, when I'm thinking about these books, to go to the next season, whichever it is, in sequence, so that I don't have him doing six winter books in a row and then six summer books. This one was sort of set in the fall, so the next one will be in the heart of winter, I think.
Lucas Davenport started out as a kind of a lean, mean, violent guy. In several of the books, you say how much he liked fighting, and he was often provoking the bad guys into fights. He's maybe smarter and certainly richer than classic crime fiction heroes, but when he started out, didn't you basically create a character who was sort of well within the generally accepted parameters for this kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that a lot of beginning writers do exactly the same thing. In other words, you are a fan of a particular genre, and that's what you start writing in. And the first book often, I think, tends to be a very mainstream kind of book, because what you're the first priority that you have is to get published. After that, you can start to experiment. So Lucas was more toward the Mike Hammer end of the spectrum than he wound up in the recent books.
What I'm wondering about is that Lucas Davenport has now grown up. He has gray hair, a big new house, a wife, a baby, a nanny. He's a family guy, and he seems to really love it. Aren't you kind of taking some risks with the big bad genre here?
I can't keep writing the same book over and over again because, for one thing, he is obviously getting older. But there's also a strategic problem when you write this many books that kind of comes into play, and it actually involves women, because I have a large number of women readers. And the problem is that one of the things that most readers like, not just women, but particularly women, is they like to see the beginning of a relationship. They like to see romance coming into a guy's life or romance coming into a woman's life. They like to see the first meeting, the first kiss, how they develop that relationship, what happens from then on out. So Davenport, in the first 10 books, always has a warm, deeply felt, intellectually rewarding relationship with a strong woman character. But, you know, after the first 15, he begins to look a little bit like a predator, and maybe he wasn't that sincere, because every season a new woman comes along.
Right.
There's a combined problem of having that relationship, but at the same time not allowing the relationships to get in the way of the book. What I've lost by marrying off Davenport, of course, is the beginning of a relationship. What I've gained is that he doesn't look like a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this book, he's trying to find out who killed a mysterious Russian who's found dead in Duluth. Is this a kind of like a little globalization? I wonder, when you make the choices you make for each individual book, if you start with the victim.
I usually start actually with the characters, with the bad guy. If I can create a good bad guy, then I've a long way toward finishing the book. I'm interested in the idea of a really old guy being bad. So this guy is 92 years old, and he's a bad guy. And he also has a great-grandson who's very young. He's still a teenager, and he's also a bad guy. And I like that play.
I wonder if you know how long you want to be doing this, writing about the same bunch of people.
I thought about quitting this time. And my wife asked this, the one Zen-like question that you have to answer, and that is, what would you do, since I've been writing since I was about 20? And the upshot of that conversation has led me to look at another contract, which is sitting on my table right now, my kitchen table, for two more books. But the first of those books will be a non-Davenport character, will not be set in the Twin Cities, will be set probably in Washington, D.C., or maybe south in Virginia a little bit, with possible extensions into the city of Detroit. I don't want to talk too much about it because I haven't solidified anything about it, but it's not going to be a Davenport book. It's just going to be a relief from, you know, the Davenport stuff.
Before you took up this line of work, you were a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper man, under another name, I should say. Do you ever think about going back and writing books about real people or real situations? There's certainly a lot going on in the world now that cries out to be explained.
I still write occasional journalism, in a sense. I do book reviews for the newspaper in Fort Worth, Texas. If the right newspaper came along, and I mean a good newspaper that would take you seriously, like any of the Times or the Washington Post or someplace like that, and just said, why don't you be kind of a casual stringer and we'll pay your expenses for 3 stories a year out of the Middle West, I would be extremely tempted to do it. You know, if they would give me some space, I'd even take the photographs for them. This is sort of a job application here. because, I mean, I really do like taking photographs, and there are some great stories out here that don't get told in the national media, the national newspapers.
Now, I want to get back to the question of the life of Lucas. Do you think, really write from here on in the series books about a happy guy? I mean, Robert Parker has sort of done it, but his character is a jokey person to begin with.
The happiness doesn't bother me because that sort of plays against the usual theme of the genre, in which the cop is often this very cynical, cigarette-smoking, heavy-drinking kind of loner who's out there drifting along the edges of society and sort of a trash man. Davenport doesn't have to do that. He just likes it. And he still likes to fight. And he makes friends with people who like to fight. So Davenport is a little bit different. I don't know if his happiness would change, but the marriage situation might have settled him down a little bit too much. So Weather, his wife, is sort of dangling by
a thread,
a dramatic tactical thread. I don't know if I'm going to do it, though, because, boy, a lot of people, when I go on tour, say they really like his wife.
Yeah, so. Right. Her name is Weather, like good weather, bad weather.
Right.
And that was the reason I asked, because I thought it looks here like poor old Weather is cruising for something terrible to happen to her here.
Well,
just
in fact,
that Davenport can be mean and bitter again.
That's right. I am, in fact, writing the next novel right now. I'm about 30,000 words into it. And when I had to quit to go on tour, I had the main bad guy, who is really, really bad in the next book, in Davenport's kitchen, talking to Lucas, but sort of looking over Lucas's wife and his ward, Letty. And that's where I left it. And I really don't know what's going to happen, but she's hanging on by her fingernails right now.
John Sanford, his newest book in the Prey series is called Hidden Prey. John Sanford, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for asking me.
To read an excerpt from the book Hidden Prey, try our website, npr.org.